Gospel Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And as I promised a few months ago, as we get to Advent, I was going to be telling some stories about Jesus. And so here in the Advent season, we're going to tell a few stories that happened just before Jesus is born. We'll start with Luke chapter 1, verse 1 and following. Many people have set out to write accounts among the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circling among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children, because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lots to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he will cause all who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. Then Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over. He returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning, I want to speak to you about Zechariah and Elizabeth and about having hope when there seems there is to be no hope. Now, Luke starts off his gospel by saying that there apparently have been several accounts of the life of Jesus flowing around. Okay. Now, we're pretty sure that Luke and the author of Matthew had an early copy of Mark, okay? Because when we read Mark, we know that Mark crops up in Matthew and Luke. Matthew almost copies Mark word for word. Luke will kind of brush them up a little bit, okay? And Luke talks about how these are eyewitness accounts, okay? And he said, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. In other words, he didn't just write down anything he heard. He went out and he investigated to make sure it's true. Now, you may recall in the book of Acts, Luke was with his buddy, the Apostle Paul. They went to Jerusalem for a festival. Apostle Paul got arrested and got thrown in jail about 2 years. The Roman governor knew he was innocent, but he wanted a bribe from Paul, and Paul wouldn't give him the bribe. So what was Luke during those 2 years? I think a lot of other folks think that Luke was out traveling the countryside, meeting people who knew Jesus, and making a report. And he put them together to form what we now call the Gospel of Luke. He said, I had also decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. The word honorable usually is with a Roman citizen of high ranking, okay? So this is possibly a Christian in Rome, maybe a senator, very high ranking, who's heard stories about Jesus, but this may be the first gospel he's actually read, okay? And the name Theophilus, that might be his name, that might be a nickname. Theophilus means, Theo means God, Philos like Philio, Philadelphia, brother love. No, one who loves God. So we're not sure if that's an actual real name or maybe like a little pen pal name for to keep the person anonymous. But he says, I wrote this for you, most honorable Theophilus. Why? So you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. So here was a Christian in Rome probably, and he gets this from Luke. So Luke says, I want you to read this so you know what you were taught was the truth. So, did this happen once upon a time, long, long ago, somewhere far away? No. This happens when Herod was king of Judea. All right, that Herod, that'd be King Herod the Great. We know him as one of the bad guys in the Bible. Later on this year, we'll get to Matthew chapter 2 and the three wise men. And Herod was a mess. The young King Herod was a great builder. He built lots of towns and cities. He remodeled the temple in Jerusalem. But as Herod got older, he got more and more paranoid, and he started killing folks left and right. And if you were in his family, you were in big trouble, because he'd get suspicious, thinking you might be going for the throne, he'd get you next. And so I'll care more about old King Herod when we get to the coming of the wise men. So Herod in the land of Judea, okay, and we have a Jewish priest named Zechariah, and a wife, Elizabeth, and they're both priestly, okay? Elizabeth, E-L, that means God. Elizabeth, God remembers. Zechariah means God's promise. You've been together, Elizabeth and Zechariah, you got God remembers God's promise, okay? I don't think that's an accident. They were both righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations, and they had no children, because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, that is a common problem throughout the scriptures, especially at the very beginning of the Bible. All right, let's start at the very beginning of the Jewish faith. Abraham and Sarah. The Lord told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You'll be the father of many nations, and I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations will be blessed. And Abraham says, well, Lord, there's only one small problem. My wife's old, so where's this, how am I going to the father of many nations, you know? And the Lord promised Abraham that you will have a son. And then, of course, we have the famous story where Abraham was out in the front yard. He sees three visitors and tells Sarah, Sarah, get busy, cook something. They show up, and it's the Lord, two of his angels, and they're chit-chatting, and the Lord says, Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham says, behold, in the tent. And of course, Sarah being the good wife, she was in the tent eavesdropping, wasn't she, listening in? That's what good wives do, right? And the Lord says, the time appointed, I will come to you again, and Sarah shall have given birth to a son. And Sarah laughs and then says, am I to know joy in my old age? When I'm old, my Lord is old also. But the thing is, the Lord heard her laugh. And the Lord said, wherefore does Sarah laugh when I said she'll give birth to a son? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. And then she probably, because, you know, she gave away her cover. You know, she was eavesdropping. And so when Isaac is born, Isaac is Hebrew for the word laughter. Because Abraham and Sarah both laugh at God at the idea of having a baby at their age, and then think all the laughter and joy a baby brings. You know, Isaac, he gets married to Rebecca. Rebecca struggles as well. And then when she becomes pregnant, you know, those babies are tossed and turning. The angel tells her and says, you have two nations inside you. And, of course, she gives birth to Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob, you know, that's an interesting story. And so that's like a little soap opera. Jacob gets in trouble. He runs off, goes to a farm, and meets the prettiest girl he ever laid eyes on. Oh, my goodness. Makes a deal with her dad and says, I want to marry your daughter. He says, sure, if you'll work on my farm for 7 years, she's all yours. So they work 7 years. They have a wedding. And then the next morning, he looks over and says, and here are you. Old dad pulled a trick. He didn't marry the youngest daughter. He married the oldest daughter. And dad said, oh, by the way, in our culture, the oldest daughter has to be married first. But if you'll work 7 more years, you can get my youngest daughter, too. Okay? And that, of course, is the story of Leah and Rachel. And that caused all sorts of conflicts. Leah was not loved by Jacob, but she's the one who kept having all these children. She was fertile Myrtle. She had a kid and another kid and another kid. Rachel, on the other hand, was getting very upset. She wasn't having kids. And she got mad at Jacob and said, give me children. I want children. And Jacob, being the loving husband he was, said, am I God? I can't give you children. Which is the wrong response, gentlemen, by the way. That's when you just hug her and love on her, okay? But then the Lord had compassion on her, and she gave birth to the son, Joseph. And then later, he gave birth to Benjamin. And that caused a little bit of conflict, right? Because dad gave Joseph the famous coat of many colors, right? Because that was the wife of the kid of his favorite wife. You know, so that was also some issues. Then we get into the book of Judges, and you have a gentleman, I can't think of his name offhand, his wife, they are unable to conceive. And then one day out in the fields, the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, I got some news for you. Your wife will conceive and have a son, and your son's job is to begin the process to free his people from the Philistines. And here's three rules. Rule number one, no strong liquor. Rule number two, no touching dead animals. And rule number three, no haircuts. And that's how Samson was born. Samson was a miracle child. And then at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, you may recall, we had a gentleman there. He also had two wives. And again, hear me out of this. Bad idea to have more than one wife. And he liked one more than the other. And the one he didn't like was having all the children. And the one he loved, Hannah, did not have children. And she was very upset. And being the good husband he was, he tried to comfort her and say, well, Hannah, you have me. I mean, am I not good as having like two sons? Again, that's the wrong answer. Just hug her and love on her, okay? And you may recall how Hannah went to the temple one day, and she was upset, praying and crying. The high priest, Eli, thought she was drunk, got mad at her, and said, get out of here, you shouldn't be drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk, I'm upset because I don't have any children. And he said, go in peace. And then the Lord had mercy on her, and she gave birth to a little child named Samuel. And Samuel was the one who heard the voice of God in the temple. And later on, Samuel was the one who anointed King David to be the king of Israel. So, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they are just in the long line of folks who are having issues having babies, okay? So, one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. All right, so, we've got a lot of priests on this particular week. Zechariah's crew, it was their job in the temple, okay? I was a custom of the priest. He was chosen by a law to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Okay, what that means is in the evening, they would have a burning of incense. The priest would go in, burn incense, and he'd come back out, and he would bless the people. Well, who's going to say it? Well, they drew lots. So that'd be like drawing names out of the hat or the sword straw, one of those. And by coincidence, Zechariah got it. But you know, with a Christian, there are no such things as coincidences, are there? Boy, I sure got lucky. I got a coincidence. No, honey, that was God's blessing and favor in your life, okay? Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. By coincidence, Zachariah's name got drawn out of the hat. So, he goes inside, burning incense. Outside, there is a great crowd, burning incense to Jerusalem. They're outside praying. And while Zechariah's in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the rod of incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Now, I need to dig in this just a little bit, because this will come up again later on with Mary and Joseph and then with the shepherds. When you hear the word angel, okay, I don't want you to think of precious moment angels. I don't think about your girlfriend being your angel, okay? In the Bible, when an angel appears, it's not precious moments angel. This is a messenger from God. And every time you see one, people get scared. So the first thing the angel always has to say is, don't be afraid, okay? If an angel appeared right now in front of this auditorium, you know, sanctuary, I'd probably jump. Because there'd be a flash of light, and there'd be this being that's unearthly, full of power and holiness, and we'd all get scared. I don't care how big the muscles are on your arms. If we ever saw an angel, it would scare us at first. So the angel says, Zechariah, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Think about that. Zechariah had been praying. What has Zechariah been praying about? I don't think he'd been praying about a son, but I do think he prayed what we were singing. Oh come, Emmanuel. No, it had been 400 years since God had spoken to his people. And Zechariah was like, Lord, send your Messiah. Send him. Let him come quickly. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give birth to a son. And you are to name him John. Now, John is the Greek version of the name Jonah. Okay? You will have great joy and gladness, and many rejoice at his birth. Okay? Again, think about Isaac. Isaac means laughter, right? So we're seeing some familiar trends here. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drinks. Where have we heard that before? That's what the angel said about baby Samson, right? No liquor for Samson, no drinking. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Okay? Think about that. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come upon different people. This child, he gets the Holy Spirit even before he's born. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Now, what's interesting about that quote is, if you go to your Old Testament, to the very, very last book, the book of Malachi, chapter 4, last two verses. Okay. What does it say? Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. The last thing the Lord said in the Old Testament was, I'm going to send Elijah to lead a great revival. And the angel quotes this verse for verse. Now, Zechariah, surely, as much as he was a priest and read his scriptures, he surely could remember about Isaac being born and Jacob being born, Joseph being born, Samson, Samuel. Sure, he remembered what the prophet Malachi said about how God was sending the prophet Elijah to come to lead a great revival. And what does Zechariah say? How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years. Now, I'm not married, but I have heard reports that you should not say that about your wife, okay? I'll just throw that out there to you. Zechariah doubts this message. Like, well, how can I be sure of this? My Lord, man, you're in the temple, in the sanctuary, praying. An angel appears and tells you this. Okay, this is good as gold. You can believe this. And the angel gets very upset and says, I am Gabriel. Okay. Now, we think of Gabriel because of Mary and such. But for Zechariah, when he hears, I am Gabriel, his mind should go back to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, Daniel has these visions and doesn't know what to make of it. And this messenger appears and says, I am Gabriel. I was sent by the Lord to explain these messages to you. So Gabriel is kind of like the Lord's mailman, Western Union. He delivers the message. And so Gabriel gets a little upset and says, I am Gabriel. I send the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Again, that echoes what the Lord told Abraham, you know. At the time appointed, Sarah shall have given birth to a son. Okay, so there's Zechariah. He gets lectured by an angel, okay, which I'm sure is scary. And now, he can't speak. Meanwhile, the people are outside the sanctuary, and they're thinking, is he okay? Do we need to go and check on him? Where's he at? That'd be like if you came here at 9:30 and I wasn't here, and then you got 9:35, 9:40, 9:45. I hope somebody will go out in the parking lot and check on me, right? You know? Maybe I slip and broke my leg or something, you know? I might be in a ditch somewhere, you know? Like, Pastor, you okay? Where you at? They were doing the same thing, like, where's Zechariah? No, I mean, he's old. Did he have like a heart attack? You know, is he okay? I mean, do we need to get somebody? No, I mean, what do we do? Do we find their priest and go like, can you check on Zechariah? And then Zechariah comes out, but he can't speak. Clinton, you want to have some fun with me today? Come up here. Now, when I was reading this, I read this verse and I thought, this reminds me of my little friend Clinton. Okay. Now, Clint, you come to the library all the time, don't you? What do you do in the library? Practice sign language. Now, listen to this. It says, when he finally came out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. All right. So, Clint, I'm going to pretend like you're Zechariah. So, I'll tell you what to say. Let's see how well you can sign language with these folks. Okay. All right, you guys give them a grade on this. Okay, you guys stand up. They can see you now. Okay, you're the priest. So say, I was in the church. You remember saying that? No. He might be talking about me. I wouldn't know it. All right. Okay. When I saw an angel. Yes. And the angel said that my wife would give birth to a baby. Okay, I got the baby part. But I didn't believe the angel. So now I can't speak. All right. Thank you, Clint. Give him a hand. Pause. That was awesome. All right. Good job, Clinton. Yeah. All right. Now, I gave him a little test run when I came in and said, Clint, what's the sign language for church and angel to see if he knew anything? And I thought, okay, we'll have some fun with this. So here's Zechariah, this priest, and he's using sign language and trying to explain what was going on. Because he's supposed to come out and give a blessing. You know, may the Lord bless you, may his face shine upon you, may the Lord grant you peace. He can't do that. He lost his voice. You know? Okay? And they said they realized from his gestures and his silence, he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. All right, what happens next? Well, his week service is finished. He goes home. And soon afterwards, what happens? Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And she goes into seclusion for 5 months. Okay. So in other words, like, I don't want a lot of folks to know about this, because, you know, she's aware that, you know, miscarriages are possible and such, and she don't want folks gossiping, but so I'm going to kind of keep this on low down for a little while. And that's really important, because next week, Elizabeth's going to discover that someone has learned about her pregnancy, a relative of hers in Nazareth by the name of Mary. Okay, and that's going to help kind of confirm each other what was going on. And then she said, "How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." And see, in that Jewish culture, it was considered to be a disgrace not to have children. And back then, like today, folks would gossip about you, and they would think maybe you didn't live right. If you have a little more faith, if you pray a little more often, this wouldn't happen to you. And think about how Elizabeth had to go through life. And you think not in today's society. Here's a young couple wants to have a baby and can't have one. And then their friends have a baby. And there's the baby shower and the baby and the first year pictures and the birthdays and the Christmases and the Thanksgivings. And then the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, Little League, 4-H. Softball team, baseball team, all those events. Now, and they're kind of left out. And then you get further up with the years, and then the grandkids come along, and you never even got to enjoy having a child in your house. And that went on for year after year after year. But then, what she thought was impossible happened. How kind the Lord is. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. Even though it was a long, long, long wait, she was about to give birth to a son. And perhaps she was a little more in tune than her husband was. Perhaps she thought about little Hannah from the book of 1 Samuel. And thought about how Hannah gave birth to little Samuel, and Samuel grew up and anointed David to be king of Judea, king of Israel. And maybe she realized, my son's going to grow up, and he's going to be the one who anoints, or in this case, he will baptize Jesus of Nazareth and proclaim him to be the king of Israel, the Messiah who has come. Now, what a great honor that was. You know, I've shared with you about my nephew. He's adopted. And so my sister, when she posts, so a lot of times she'll use a hashtag worth the wait. Because she waited for years and years and years on this. Now, and I'm sure Elizabeth, when she looked back, she said, no, it was worth the wait. It was some lonely years, some sad years, lots of disappointments. But now a baby's coming, little John. And he'll be known to us as John the Baptist, the one who prepares the way for the coming of the King. And so this morning, I want to remind you that we need to be people of hope. Let's not be like old Zechariah and doubt the word of the Lord, forget about all the stories we read about in the Bible. And when the God tells something, go, well, how is that going to work out? Well, honey, the Lord said it. That's all you need to know about it. He'll take care of the details. But rather, we need to be more like Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth became pregnant, she said, how kind the Lord is. She gave the Lord the praise and thanks and the glory. Let's not be like Zechariah and overthink this and start doubting God and doubt his goodness. Remember, Zechariah was praying for the coming of Messiah. And the angel says, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. And then Zechariah turned around and said, well, how is this going to happen? Elizabeth, when she came pregnant, she just said, how kind the Lord is. God has been kind to us. He's been gracious to us. And he deserves all the glory and honor. So, as we go in this Advent season, we need to remind ourselves how kind the Lord is. And show that kindness to our fellow human being. There is never is a better time to be kind to someone than this year when you're at the grocery store or the Walmart or the parking lot, because so many people are hustling and bustling, and they're buying this and they're buying that, and they don't have a clue what it's about. But as Christians, we know what it's about. And we know that we celebrate this because of the kindness of the Lord. And because of his kindness, we can go show kindness to others. So, how kind the Lord is. So let's focus this week on how kind the Lord is and how we can show that kindness to one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.